Thank you for checking out the City Church podcast today. Our prayer is that this message stirs your affection for Jesus Christ. City Church exists to lead people far from God into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we hope that you can take one step closer in your relationship with Christ. Wherever you are listening from, we hope you enjoy today's message.
All right, City Church, how are we doing today? Woo! Come on, how are we doing today? All right, that's good. You guys were better the first time, I'm not going to lie. I'm extremely excited today to get to share. I don't always get to be up here. Well, I do, but they normally kick me off within a few minutes. So today I get to be with you guys a little bit longer. But I'm also excited to introduce my friend Rich. He's going to talk to you about a little something we have going on this month.
Hey, guys. I just want to say something real quick. Some of you have heard about First Friday, and that's an event that, I don't know, Albany puts on the first Friday of every month. And it happens right around here, Lark Street. I don't know if there's stuff that goes on downtown, but Lark Street is popping on Friday night, First Friday. And so City Church has begun to get involved in that. And so across the street, we have been doing a combo music and art show. And I performed last month with Stephen Stewart. Some of you know him. And we're performing again this week. And we've got, four different artists are going to be displaying art. So here's the thing. There's a lot of new people in this room. Okay, I've been in this church for a few years. And there's a ton of faces I don't even recognize. And that's awesome. And one of the things we value here at City Church is community. Spiritual growth, okay? Your relationship with God develops best in the context of community. So one of the things that's true about community is it doesn't happen by accident. Community groups are phenomenal. You need to be in a community group if you want to grow spiritually. But another thing that needs to happen is you need to relate with other people in natural environments. And so we want to encourage you guys to just come hang out with us First Friday. I think it's the 7th, July 7th. It's a great place just to be hanging out with people, having normal conversations, and the artists that we have are not necessarily Christians. So it's going to bring in people who don't know Jesus into the mix, we hope, with people who do. And it's a great place to interact and build relationships, both with fellow believers and with the unbelieving community around us. So please, we want to invite you to come out and hang out with us. I'll be performing again this month. As well, Stephen and our friend Kadeem Koalas. Some of you know him. He'll be doing some spoken word for us. So we're very excited about that. So please put that on your calendars. July 7th, 6 p.m. Be there. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you, Rich. Cool. I shamelessly plugged Rich into my message. Not shamelessly. It goes along. Because over the past 3 weeks, we've been talking about the series Handmade. You guys have been here for a little bit of that? Right? You guys kind of tracking what we're putting down? Is that cool? All right, so what the reason behind this is when we look at certain things that all humanity have, we also assume that God ingrained those, put those in us when he created us. We talked about that the first week. But the thing we also can look at is there's certain things that transcend all cultures, right? All communities. And one of those is art. You can find art in every community around the world. And so there's something there. There's something very specific about art and why it moves within humanity. And so we wanted to really dive into that, because if that is something that moves throughout all cultures, we know God is, you know, the God of all creation. So we know that he put that specifically there for a reason. And the second thing that we really were excited about this, like, we've known about this for a little while. I mean, I got to help put it together, and it's 6 weeks long. The cool thing about this is we get to really discover some of the attributes of who God is that we don't always think about, right? Like him being creative, or him being inspirational, or him being poetic. Like, we don't always get to think about those things and the way God moves and has those characteristics. And so this series particularly is awesome, because we get to dive into these things that, you know, aren't always brought to the forefront. And there's a quote that I love. It's by Augustine. It says, "Novarum te, novarum me." I think I have that. And this is what it means. I would know you, God, I would know myself. And so we believe that the more we get to know who God is, the more we get to know about who ourselves. Make sense? You track with me? All right, so you guys don't know me. I cover a lot of information, and I cover it very quickly. And so I'm trying to slow down, but I'm also like, I don't want to keep them here till 2. And so I'm excited about this, and we're going to dive in. But first, I want to talk about a little bit what we're going to be doing today. So there is an attribute of God, and I've always kind of steered away from it, and I'll tell you why in a little bit. There's an attribute of God that is very creative, poetic, imaginative, all in one, and he does all these characteristics combined when he pursues his people. And so it's not just one characteristic here or one characteristic here. It's all of these artistic characteristics of God combined when he's pursuing us. And there's one that there's one that is very, this is not talked about a lot, and I get why, but there is a hint of God being a romantic, right? There's a small hint of that, and I can tell you why. I can tell you because you have prophets like Hosea, which we might talk about later. You have prophets in the Old Testament that always talk about God pursuing his bride, Song of Solomon. You have things that are just like, why? That doesn't make sense. Like, if you think about who God is, we normally think like law, love, judgment, you know, afterlife. But we never think about, like, who put Song of Solomon in the Bible? Like, what is that? That's almost R-rated, bro. Like, whoa, hold on. Pull it back a little bit. Pull it, gazelles. What are you talking about? There's tons of stuff in there. The Bible is a book of, it's not just a book of law, but it has love songs, has other songs, just worship, has poetry. It has stories that are creative, parables that just expound beyond the imagination. God is constantly being creative, and sometimes we just don't notice it. We're like, yeah, this is who God is, and we forget that he's so artistic, especially in how he pursues us. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. But one little caveat, if I'm talking about how God pursues us, especially in a romantic way, I have very few illustrations, and the ones I do are very bad. Not bad like inappropriate, but like I'm not a romantic. Ask my wife, she would definitely clarify that. But the illustrations we see in the Bible a lot is Jesus as the groom and the church his bride, right? And so we're going to have constant illustrations of how Jesus is the perfect husband, right, to his bride. And so just a heads up, fellas, this will be a convicting message for you. We're said to love our wives like Christ loves the church. You're not doing it like he's doing it. Can we just throw that out there? I'm not doing it like he's doing it. You're not doing it like he's doing it. There's grace for you. God's working on you. We talked about that last week, you know, work in progress. And so I'll just give you a heads up. This was such a convicting message as I was preparing it. This week, I took my lunch break one day, and I was just studying this, and I was like, I don't even know how to comprehend this. And so I took, and this is for free. I shouldn't even be going here, but I'm doing it anyway. I took my lunch break and went to the mall and found me a Bath & Body Works. And I went in, right? And I went in, and I was like, Lord, guide me through this. Wherever I am. And so I'm going to give you fellas a freebie. You ready for this one? There will be candles half this size, $10, right? $10. But then you'll see a sale sign and it'll be like 40 hand sanitizers for $6. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh God, I'm going to come up with like a grocery bag of hand sanitizers. Don't do it. Don't. Do it. It's not the same, all right? It's quality over quantity, all right? Quality over quantity. Just spend that 10 on that candle. I promise you it'll do more when you stumble through spilling over hand sanitizers. It's not going to do the same thing, okay? Good. Just now, I wasn't even supposed to go there. We're going to have to skip scriptures because of that little blessing I gave you guys. Let me make sure I'm still on my notes because that was an awesome rant. All right, so one thing I did want to point out, and this is just scriptural, just for you and your reference, of how God moves in his pursuit of his children. In Romans 1, and I'm going to read this. We're not going to put it up. I'm just going to read it real quick. Just listen to the wording in this and just think about this in terms of art. For the creation of the world, for from creation of the world, the invisible things of him are clearly seen, being understood through the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Talking about people. Meaning that God is so in pursuit of his people, there's not a thing you can look around that isn't him coming after you. Is that cool? And so that's just where we're basing off. So we're really going to really dive into this. And I have a section of scripture. It's a little bit long. And we're going to walk through it piece by piece. But at first, I want to read the whole thing. And I want you to do me a favor. Just put your feet in that situation. Like, be a fly on the wall. Be like, you know, the guy in biblical times was over there like, you know, playing pool or shoveling something, I don't know, whatever that was, you know, or dancing, he's just dancing. So I'm going to read the scripture. It's John 4, verse 4 through 26. I'll give you guys a minute if you have your Bibles. It's a story we're pretty familiar with. And so it's not going to be anything really drastically new, especially if you've been in church for a while. But I really want to take a look at this and try to put your feet into the story. You ready? Now he had to go through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. His grace is sufficient. Near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his sons, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. Now, I know some translations say 6 hour. Where are we at on that? We don't have that up there? Okay, yeah, so good. I'm just giving you a heads up if you're like, noon, this says like 6 in the morning. No, 6th hour means noon. Just giving you a heads up. Let's get back on our notes. When the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say that you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that is the place. Jews claim that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And the woman, Jesus said, "Believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship with the Father in spirit and truth, for they are a kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth." And the woman said, "I know the Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And Jesus declared, "I am the one speaking to you. I am he." Let's go and pray real quick. God, I just ask that you were in this room today. God, that I ask that you were in the scripture and that you breathe it out upon us. God, I ask that hearts are exposed and open to feel your love, to feel your pursuit. God, to know that they're not in just a blanket room. They're just not in a vast of nothingness, but they are in a particular space where God is pursuing them deeply. God, bless today. I love you. In your name we pray, amen. Okay. Nope. Different verse. We're going to repeat. Yeah. I mean, you want to hang out, you can. I just should have told you I was going to say this verse like 6 times. Do you want to come preach? No, they're good? Okay. I love her. That's awesome. Just to give you a heads up, that was my mistake, not hers. I was like, hey, when I read this verse, I forgot to tell her that I was going to read through the whole thing. I didn't want to tell her I was reading through the whole thing because I didn't want to freak anybody out. My wife knew, and she was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I like to read." And so now everyone else does. So just to give you a heads up, I want to look at this. And that was a long story, right? And so the first thing I gather from this particular passage is there's very something particular Jesus is doing. And just right off the bat, and I'm going to coin this as another pastor said, Jesus plays the long game, right? Because it's Jesus. And we've seen him go through towns all the time. He's like, "Yo, what's your deal?" And he's like, "I'm blind." I'm like, "You're not blind no more. Have faith done," right? And it's just boom, like that. But in this certain instance, he takes his time. He doesn't walk in and just like kick the well over and be like, "Springs," you know, and like just save. He doesn't do that. He takes his time. He's almost very gentle. I mean, some of the things he says are a little bit abrupt, but he's very gentle in how he pursues this child, like how he is speaking to her. And that was the first thing. And now in verse 4, where Jesus comes, the first thing he does is he kind of breaks down barriers and assumptions. Like, what do you see? He shows up and he's like, "Hey, give me a drink." She's like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, you don't you guys don't do that, right? That's not what I've known. And that's the first thing God normally does in our lives, is he kind of jumps in and he's like, hey, I'm interested. And you're like, well, no, you're not, right? Like, no, you don't know who I am, right? He disrupts that whole entire thing. Like, I know who I am. You don't know this. And so there's a quote that I love, and this is one of my favorite quotes, and I'm just going to read it out to you guys. The real reason why so few men believe in God is they have ceased to believe that even a God can love them. Right? And that, doesn't that make sense? Like, it's not that I don't believe in God, it's just I don't see how he can love me. Right? Like, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan woman. This isn't going to work. This isn't how it's done. I've seen this. I know it. This isn't how it's done. But he begins to just take that wall down piece by piece. Right? Just that one little section. And we're going to jump because I need to get through a lot. So we're going to go and head to the next scripture. And let me see where that is. Verse 10. Let's look at verse 10 real quick. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. So the whole first premise is her going, whoa, you don't know who I am, right? Right. She's saying, whoa, I get it, but you don't know who I am. And then Jesus' retort, no, you don't know who I am, right? Like, instantly, she's like, no, you don't know who I am. It's like, no, you don't know who I am. Because if you did, you would have asked me instead of me asking you. So he's planting this, like, it's very subtle and just another brick down off that wall, right? Just another brick down off that wall. And then you have verse 11. Let's move into 11. We're going to read 11 through 12 and see what I said when I was just going to walk through it. I'm doing that on purpose just so you can kind of see each play by play and see how God pursues us. Cool? All right, 11. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from himself, as did his sons and his flocks? Okay, so let's just eyeball this. Jesus comes up, give me a drink, you don't know who I am. Jesus goes, no, you don't know who I am. Her next thing is, okay, fair enough. And we do this all the time. You are you, I am me, let's just put that on the table. I still don't think you can do it. Right? And this is, I want you to picture, like, this is the way we walk in our world. He constantly goes, this is who I am. And we go, well, this is who I am. He's like, no, I get that. He's like, well, I know you love me, but I still don't think you can do it. Right? This is something we're trying to put that wall, a piece, just pick that brick back up. And he's like, nope. And he just Jengas it right out, you know? He just continues to do that. I got jokes days, guys. Y'all better start laughing. For days. Jokes for days. Okay, thank you. All right, jokes for days. And so it's really just a circumstance that she can't get past the circumstance. Like, yeah, he says he's got this living whatever. You don't even have a thing to get water out. What are you talking about? Like, you don't even have a thing, right? You can't, whether you say you know, this is what it is, you still can't do it. And so there's another quote, and I'm a guy of quotes, but I swear this is the last quote, promise. It's a quote by G.K. Chesterton, and I love this quote because it hits hard down in my soul. It says, Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and not tried. Isn't that amazing? And so it's just that constant, like, this is what I know God says. I just don't see it. I can't see that this is going to happen. I don't believe you. Right? And then this is where the shift in the scripture, this is what I like to call the shift. This is like where the plot twist. This is if M. Night Shyamalan was, you know, sneaking up in there. See, jokes for days. I told you, start laughing or they're going to get worse. They're going to get worse. Verse 13 through 15. I just want to check that out real quick and read that with you guys. And Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water dwelling up to eternal life. And then the woman said, get this. Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming back here to draw water. I don't know how much how blatantly weird this is. I don't know if you guys saw this. All right, so he basically is like, hey, I got this water that when you drink it, you won't thirst anymore, right? And then it's going to spring up a living well into eternity, right? And what does she say? I don't have to come back here? Like, not that I get eternal life, just put it, get eternal life out of here. I don't got to come back here. And so there's some context, and I know some of us heard this before, but there's a really weird context here. It's when he said that Jesus arrived at this well at noon, culturally speaking, that's not when women go to the well. Women go to the well early in the morning where it's not blazing hot or late in the afternoon. The problem is the entire town, all the women go to the well, and they chat, and they talk, and they have community, right? But she's going at noon. So there's something there. And the cool thing is Jesus, right off the bat, is addressing this one particular thing that she is so scared of, right? But he's not just yelling at her. He's like, hey, I give water that you'll never thirst again. And through that springs up eternal life. And she's like, I don't have to come back here. So I know what it sounds like. It's like he's giving relief right off the bat, but that's not actually what he's doing. He is. But we keep seeing the whole, like, I don't have to come back here because I don't want to have to deal with the community and I'm a little ashamed. And so if I don't have to go to the well at all, I'll never have to deal with that side of my life, right? I'll never have to deal with that. And a lot of times in God's pursuit of us, and we're like, yeah, I'm digging this. And then as soon as we get, we're like, God, I just have this thing. And if you could just make it not have to be there, right? Can you just make this thing, like, I just don't want to deal with it. Can you just give me some relief. And that's what he's doing. He's not just saying just relief, though. There's like a little thing in there. And he's trying to get her to see something that she's not seeing. And he often does that with us. And that's the shift, right? You guys tracking with me? Okay. And I want to read the next bit. That's verse 16 through 18. You got to find it. And then he told her, this is right after she says, give me this water so I don't have to come back here. And he says, go call your husband and come back. She says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right that you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is true. Now, okay, I'm going to stop here for a minute. When we plan this series out for 6 weeks, I got to be a part of writing it out, like each particular sermon. And the week three didn't look like this. Week three was pretty different. A little of the same scripture. Week three was a totally different concept, it was great. You know, I really felt like God put on my heart. But until last weekend, he kind of flipped the script on me. And that's where he was like, I really felt him being like, I want you to tell them how I'm pursuing them. I want you to explain that. And I'm not a romantic, so that's very difficult. But that wasn't the thing that held me back this weekend when I was thinking about re-altering this thing. It wasn't that I'm like, well, you know, God, I'm not much of a romantic. How are you going to have a guy like that really talk about creative ways he's pursuing? It's not me. It wasn't that. It was the instant flash of when God says, I want you to tell my people how I'm pursuing them, the instant thing going, what about that tragedy? God, what about that heartache? God, what about those things that went wrong that week? God, what about all these things? I don't make me stand in front of them and say you're pursuing them when they're hurting. Don't make me do that. I did not want to preach this because it's so difficult. It's such a difficult concept. You don't know what it's like to stand in front of someone and go, you know, God loves you. He's pursuing you deep down in your soul. And they're just looking back at you being like, you don't know, right? You don't know who I am. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know about my five husbands, the one I have now. You don't know about me not wanting to go the way. You don't know. How can you say God's pursuing me passionately when I can point to so many things in my life where it doesn't look like he's there? Right? Do you see how difficult that is? But Jesus doesn't stop here. And this is one thing I always love to point out. Jesus didn't veer away. He never goes, oh, you got five husbands. Well, let's just skip and talk about something nice, right? Glitters, rainbows, you check out that new Starbucks. He didn't do that. He addressed it right off the bat, which tells me that God never ignores it. Never. He's always faces it right on, right? But he doesn't ever answer it the way we think he is, because sometimes it just doesn't work that way. I'm living proof of knowing what it's like to pray and pray and pray for God to do something, and he doesn't do it the way I thought. I'm walking proof of that. I know what that feels like. But I want to read on just for a moment. We're going to finish this out. And I want you to pay attention to Jesus' answer in this particular instance, because this is very important on how we understand him pursuing us, his character. You ready? The woman said, sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place you worship is in Jerusalem. And the woman, Jesus replied, believe me, the time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans will worship the thing you don't know, and we worship what we do know, for salvation comes from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. This is what his worshipers look like. They worship in spirit and truth. Do you know why she went to worship right there? Like right after? He's like, hey, you've got 500. Do you know why she started talking about what? Anybody pick up on that? Because back then, this is how you dealt with sin. Where do you worship at? I go here. I go there. It's not like that here. I mean, it's not like that. Well, I hope not. But back then, is my five husbands sin? Is all this stuff that's deal with? Do I deal with that in Jerusalem or do I deal with on the mountain? Which one do I deal it with if you're so smart? Which one should I deal with it? And he straight up drops the mic. You don't deal with it there anymore. You're dealing with it right here. Right? You don't deal with it out there anymore. You're not going there. You're dealing with it right here. So here's what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get back on my notes. Because I'm way off. When he says you're going to worship in spirit and truth, he's talking not about a relief. He's not talking about a drink of water. He's talking about himself. So, just to give you a heads up, when it comes to God pursuing us, right? And I'm getting pumped. People are like, hey, why are you so quiet today? I was like, I'm just storing it up. I got some stuff to deal with today. It's going to be awesome, but I'm about to super saying it. No one gets that. Okay. So here's what I'll tell you, because I know what it's like to think that God's not pursuing you because of all the tragedy that hurts you're dealing with. In this scripture, in this particular moment, he doesn't ignore it, but he doesn't settle for just fixing your problem. He goes way beyond, right? And the one thing he says, she's going, well, I got all this. How do I deal with all this? And he goes, this is how you deal with it. With me, which means her problem didn't get fixed, right? So there's a guy named Job, right, back in the Old Testament. You guys know about Job? Not even sure why that book's in the Bible, because it makes God look really weird, right? Because it's this guy who loves Jesus or God, and God's like, and just lets Satan pummel him, right? And all of his friends come up, and they're like, yo, Job, this is looking bad, bro. These are the things you need to do. Here's the mountain you need to go worship on. Over there in Jerusalem's where you need to go worship on. And Job's like, no, there's something else. And at the very end, you find out exactly the question Job's asking. He's not asking for his answers. He's asking for God in person. In person. There is one great tragedy. One great thing that haunts us all. And it's not whether this happened or that happened. And he answers it in the scripture. He's pursuing us so we are not alone. Like, I get it. Like, suffering's going to happen. Like, life is hard. Life is hard, and him pursuing you doesn't stop that. You're just not alone anymore. Right? Right? So I have one example. I got one example. When we were in Texas the past 3 years, trying to get our finances in order, trying to get a life established, and I knew the only way I could really be able to do something if I work the hardest I can. And so I got a job, but it was an hour and a half away. And living in Austin is too expensive, so we had to live in San Antonio. So I ended up picking up a job that was far beyond anything I could do. And I would leave Monday and come back Thursday, and then I'd leave again 5 in the morning. I would see my wife for hours. And when I did, I was exhausted. Right? But we paid our bills. We bought a car with AC. Praise Jesus, right? Right? We bought a car. In Texas, I know that's like, yeah, it's a little warm. Nah, that's a miracle. We bought a car with AC. Here's the one thing I learned out of all that. We weren't well off, but we were making our bills on time. And my wife has never been more lonely. My life was shattered, even though all the stuff in my face, like all these things are being taken care of. What's going on here? My wife was, I was lonely. That's no way to live. And see, that's what God's trying to tell you now. Him pursuing you, him coming after you. It's not to say that I'm going to fix every well problem you have. It's that you're not going to go to the well alone anymore. I'm going to be there. When you get there, I'm going to be there. That's the point. That's when God pursues you. C.S. Lewis is a poet to me, but he says this in the worst example I've ever heard. He calls it the hound of heaven. And when he got saved, he said he felt like the hound of heaven just scratching at his door, meaning he couldn't run from the love of God anymore. He couldn't outwit it. He couldn't outsmart it. Matter of fact, he says he was the only convert in London to be drugged, kicking and screaming because he could not deny that God has pursued him from the get-go. And what I'm here to tell you is this is what he's doing. I know you don't get it. It's like I don't always see it. He is pursuing you, right? I got one other example, and this is how you know God, Jesus is just a perfect husband for the church. Husbands, forgive me for this one, but this is what a good husband does. When you have an issue, a good husband doesn't buy you a BMW to get your praise and shut you up. He's not going to do that to you. He's not going to buy your Beamer just to get your approval. He doesn't want your approval. He wants your heart. He's not going to do that. He wants your heart. He's not going to throw things at you to get you to like him. He wants your heart. He's a good husband. He's constantly pursuing. He never stops. Worship team, I don't know where you guys are. You guys come up. I don't know how else to explain this. I'm just not going to repeat myself. I just want you to understand that God is creative, imaginative, and he's poetic in the way he pursues you. Look. Look where you're at now. Where are you? Look what he's doing right now to your life. Look what he's doing to your heart right now. Right? We always talk about God as love, but look what he's doing to you right now. He's straight up pursuing you. Just a little bit at a time. And he plays the long game sometimes. It's not always just right there, boom, problem solved. He's going to play the long, because he cares about you. This is a lasting relationship he wants. He doesn't just want blind acceptance. He cares about you. Man, it's a hard message. I'm so glad I got to do it. We're going to move into time of song. We have people in the back that don't want to pray by themselves. Right? Am I right, ladies? Do y'all want to pray by yourself? No. It's not fun. They're there to pray with you. Right? We can't talk about a God who doesn't want you to be alone and then leave you alone. How are we going to do that? That just makes us bad people. Right? How are we going to do that? They're there. If you feel God pursuing you, then now's the time to just, you know, ask him to just open those things up and start to know him. If you don't feel like it, if you don't feel like, you know, I don't feel like God really cares, then it's definitely a time for you not to leave here like that. Because I can tell you, this is what he does. He cares. He's pursuing you. The littlest things might be, but it's so creative. It's so imaginative. It's so romantic. So they're going to be there to pray with you. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to sing a song. You guys good with that? Father, God, I love your passion. God, if I could just feed off of that passion all day long, the way you love the church, if I could just love my wife that way, if I could just see people love out there in the community that way, God, if I could just see that, God, and move in all places, what a different outlook I would have on you, God. What a different characteristics that I would see in your heart, God. What's just different whole aspect of who you are, God, if you would just show those things to us. Those small pursuits, God, just enter and begin to open those doors, open those windows, God, open our hearts to see you moving in a creative way. God, that your love is continuously flowing. You are a good husband. You never stop wooing. You are constantly pulling us in, constantly wooing us back, God. Lord, you are amazing and wonderful. God, I love you. God, I love you. Let me pray. Amen.
This concludes today's message. We hope that you were encouraged and strengthened in your faith. For more messages from this series or other series, please visit us online at citychurchalbany.com. If you have been impacted by the message or ministry of City Church, please send us an email at info@citychurchalbany.com. We would love to hear your story. If you would like to partner with us financially, please visit us at citychurchalbany.com/giving. We hope that you have a blessed week.